Yes, it's time for a Monday showdown. Joe Starkey, Paul Zeiss in studio today. It's a beautiful day outside, and before they get outside and play golf together, they're going to go at it right here, right now. And we're going to start with some hockey first. We haven't addressed this stuff, and I think it's been interesting in many regards. Like yesterday, Vancouver, Nashville. It's amazing the good vibes that I guess Rutherford and Tocchet and people have about that place. The Bridgestone Arena down there, because that's where they won a cup the last time. So they're down 3-1 yesterday, Joe. Nashville has it where they even the series at 2-2.
Yeah.
And instead, twice with empty nets, they pull the goaltender. Twice they score, including 6 seconds left. Brock Besser completed a hat trick with two of those goals. But it was interesting because right before the second one, wide open net, Nashville had a chance to put it away. Shot goes and hits the goalpost with no goalie. It would have been over. Instead, they come back the other way and score, and then they win it in overtime. Does Nashville have a chance now down 3-1 after that game?
They do, because they've outplayed them, I think, for the majority of the series. I haven't watched every minute, but I've watched a couple games, and when I'm watching, they're outplaying Vancouver, but Vancouver's finishing. You know, it's a little bit like the Capitals-Penguins series in the year you referenced, the Penguins' second cup, that they're territorially getting outplayed. So I think they still have a chance, but obviously 3-1. The Fighting Rick Tockets are looking pretty good right now. And good for them. Huh. Casey, before last night, it was the Casey DeSmith show.
Right.
How about that, Bob?
I think it's over. I think their game five is they're going back to Vancouver. I just feel like sometimes you lose a game like that, that's devastating loss like that, it's really hard to come back from.
All right, for the sake of time, I'm going to give you some of these series. You tell me who's going to win it, given the deficit some of these teams, and just go quickly through these.
Yeah.
The Oilers are up 3-1. They won 1-0, but they got thoroughly dominated by L.A. last night. Stuart Skinner threw a shutout. They're going back to Edmonton, up 3-1. Who wins that series, Oilers or Kings?
Oilers. The Kings' power play is worse than the Penguins, if you can believe that. So, yes, the Oilers.
I think the Oilers, just because, yeah, absolutely. They've actually won in a different way than I thought they would win these games, but go ahead.
The thing is, they have 8 power play goals on 15 opportunities.
That's
whereas LA
is.
Has zero.
Zero.
And that's how you win or
whatever.
The Penguins
would have negative one.
Avalanche won yesterday 5-1. They're up 3-1 on Winnipeg. Paul, does Winnipeg have a chance?
No, I think I've watched that series. I think Colorado's been the better team, pretty much. I think Colorado wins that.
I'm surprised, even with Colorado's firepower, that they've lit up Hellebuyck the way that they did in this series.
And he's got a 578 goals against average.
I think Colorado's going to win the cup.
Ooh, a little extra
They're
bonus
really,
right
really
there.
Good.
Dallas, Vegas. Vegas is up 2-1. Big one tonight. Does Dallas win? They had the number one seed, or does Vegas, the defending champ?
I don't know, and I don't care. I hate the series and haven't watched a minute.
I haven't watched a minute of it. Well, actually, I've watched at least a minute of it. I think that this is going to be the series where Dallas finds a way to win tonight, and then they win coming back home to go up 3-2.
Isn't it interesting, Bob, if I may interject, with the NBA, NHL, and NHL, the series that we latch on to and the series we don't care about? Like, in the NBA, it's Clippers and Mavs, even though I guess it's been good. I don't care, but I've latched on to Knicks Sixers because that is compelling theater.
I latched on because Joel Embiid predicted they would win the series after they lost.
And then ripped his fans yesterday.
Ripped the fans. They're down 3-1, and they lost at home yesterday. So I found that interesting. Which is more surprising to you, Paul? Indianapolis. The Indiana Pacers are up 3-1 over Milwaukee, or the fact that Phoenix got swept by Minnesota?
I would say that Indiana, because Phoenix, to me, I haven't liked that team all year long. I think they've got a bunch, and I don't care if it, I think they've got a bunch of losing players on that team.
Big names, but they can't play together.
Big names who are losers. I know Kevin Durant won his, you know, what he went, one or two with Golden State. They won without him. They, you know what I mean? They didn't need him. The idea that he gets credit for, you know, being a guy that led them to a ring or whatever is ridiculous. I think he's a losing player. I think that they've got about 4 or 5 other guys on that team that I cannot stand. So to me, it doesn't shock me that they got swept.
Neither is surprising, but if you're asking me which one, I guess more surprising that Phoenix didn't at least get a game. Indiana couldn't do anything but win. Yesterday, Milwaukee was without
the freak
and Damian.
Damian Lillard, right. I mean, so, I don't expect that, but still, good for T.J. McConnell. I hope he gets a chance to continue. Now, Pirate Talk. Joe, twice this past week, Henry Davis was in a situation in the ninth inning of a game where he was due up. Mm-hmm. I know he struggled. Instead, Derek Shelton batted Andrew McCutchen as a pinch hitter. He struck out on three pitches, I believe. And then the other night, Rowdy Tellez is called up to pinch hit for him, even though Rowdy's batting 176, and he strikes out on three pitches. What's the logic in not hitting Henry Davis? He's number one pick. Oh, I know he struggled, but this is an opportunity to maybe change the direction of his confidence. Why would you pass on that if you're Derek Shelton?
Because he can't hit.
And Rowdy Tellez can?
He's 8 points higher.
Oh.
I mean, if that doesn't encapsulate the Pirates,
I mean, don't you give a guy a shot for a guy who's 1-1?
I guess given the I'm not nearly as passionate about it as you are in this situation. You know, I'm trying to win the game, and Henry Davis just can't hit.
But Rowdy Tellez, please.
Wasn't he coming off a decent game, though?
No.
No,
he had two hits yesterday.
Okay. Well, maybe putting him in as a pinch hitter bolstered his confidence.
His confidence is great, but no, your number one guy is shot.
Forget about Rowdy Tellez. The idea that Henry Davis should get this chance to hit in clutch situations just to have him go through it, I don't buy. He needs to be in the minor leagues.
And that's a different question. He's
no,
on your
not.
Roster.
It's the he same question.
You had a chance. I give Derek Shelton credit because earlier in that past week, when Jared Jones, a 22-year-old rookie, is in a jam in the sixth inning, he stuck with him. Whereas
because
in the past,
he earned that.
But so what? But he's still a rookie who you go to your bullpen a lot. You stuck with him because you felt like if you don't feel that about your number one overall pick, then there's something wrong. Give him a chance. Why? Who are they not to give him a chance?
A team trying to win a game.
With Rowdy Tellez as your pinch hitter.
I guess.
Well, the thing I would say right now about Henry Davis, what do I always say, Joe? He stinks.
And Rowdy Tellez doesn't.
They both stink. But actually, Rowdy Tellez.
You went to one guy who you chose as a number one overall pick versus a guy.
Was it a lefty-righty situation?
Yes, it was a lefty-righty situation.
All right,
so
then
what?
There's your answer.
Rowdy Tellez might actually close his eyes and hit one out of the park. At this point, I'm not sure what Henry Davis is capable of doing. I'm with Joe. Not only should he not be in the lineup, he shouldn't be pinch hitting. He should be back in Indianapolis.
He likely will be when
even Altoona try and work on whatever the hell he is. But again, my thing with that is I get what you're saying because Rowdy Tellez he's not very good either. But Henry Davis to me is really.
But that's not my point.
He's young, but wait.
Maybe he gets a hit and all of a sudden things start moving ahead for him a little bit.
Or maybe
fighting
it gets worse.
Or maybe
how can it get worse?
Maybe he corkscrews himself into the ground with three but really bad swings, which is what we've seen.
Exactly what Rowdy Tellez did against a righty.
I sense an unusual amount of aggression from Bob toward me during the show today.
No, there's no showdown discretion. There's no nothing. I'm trying to make a point. If I'm a manager, I'm trying to bring the best out of this kid. He's in my lineup, and twice in critical situations, I say, you know what? You're not going to hit.
They pinch hit for him.
Maybe that lights
that's
a fire
how bad
under.
He is.
Maybe that's what lights a fire under.
I think
they
it works
pinch
the
hit
other
for
way.
Him. And I think that's the thing about it.
This is a disaster.
Yelling on the bus!
This is an absolute disaster, their lineup. They're last in the majors with runners in scoring position.
And their pitching has been good. Their starting pitchers were like
they've
sixth
wasted
in the
a
league.
Month of great starting pitching. And they lead the league in strikeouts, but they don't hit homers. Everyone in the lineup practically is a disaster.
Yeah, you're right.
You know who's really who bugs you the most? Who's bothering you the most out of anybody? For me, it's Sawinski.
Yeah, there's a lot of candidates here to choose.
Is Sawinski a viable, like, everyday major
leaguer? No, he's not. Neither.
Who else are they?
Maybe
they should put Davis in right and let him work on his
hitting.
I'm not
talking about alternatives, though. I'm talking, is Jack Sawinski a viable everyday player?
He has the power to be.
Yeah, I know. Every other month he does. Okay. That's the problem. He's totally feast or famine. He's like a miniature left-handed Dave Kingman. It's like strike out or hit a homer, except there's months where all he does is make outs. And if he gets hot in August when the Pirates are 15 games out, who cares? He's helping to bury them right now again.
I totally agree. But you can say that also in part with Brian Reynolds. They've left a lot of guys on base, and he's left himself a lot of guys on base.
You say it about every – who's having a good year?
Offensively?
Joey Bart?
No, Connor Joe's having their best season.
Yeah.
That's not what you want to hear.
No, you don't.
A month into this.
Well, I would say this. If you look at Joey Bart, I mean, your point about Swinski is correct. And the one guy I'm starting to believe might be an everyday player legitimately is Connor Joe. He's
not an everyday player.
I don't know.
He's playing like one.
He's
because
playing really well.
No one
right
else
now.
Is
he
hitting.
He did this last year, and then well, over the course of a season.
He's a good player to have on your team. But we'll if he's see. Every day, that's an indictment of what you have.
Well, he's better than Telez. I think he's better than their
so
right.
So is Bob.
I think he's better than their right field options.
So is Bob.
But my point is, Joey Bart, here's the thing I'm going to tell you. You got to sort of monitor. He came in. He was really hot. I think he's 2 for his last 14 with like 5 or 6 strikouts.
Same with Michael Taylor.
You know what I mean, it's like
he's tailed off. It's no pun intended.
I think sometimes we can, you know, we kid ourselves into saying a guy is magically going to be something different than he actually is.
Well, let's look at the guys.
How about O'Neal Cruz?
Yeah, wait, he has struck out. Let's look at the guys that are supposed to be in the middle of this lineup: Sawinski, Hayes, who has one homer. But especially Sawinski, Cruz, Davis. If you would have told me that was in any order your 3, 4, 5 hitters this year, I would have believed you in spring training. And Cruz does not look like himself. He doesn't run like he did before. He got thrown out on a double play yesterday. I think it was 3-6-3 double play. What? Like, he used to fly down the line. I understand he's coming off a major injury. He doesn't look like the same guy.
But he's striking out an awful lot.
Well,
that's the thing.
He
has more strikeouts than he does.
The biggest indictment of these guys is that Joey Bart has played 10 games, and he's second on the team with 3 home runs. That's the biggest indictment of the guys we're talking about.
Yeah. And he,
Brian Hayes finally
over.
Hit one.
Yeah. O'Neal Cruz has played 3 times as many games as Joey Bart and has as many home runs.
This is such a – it's such a failure of approach. They're clearly – well, I was going to say they're clearly trying to be more selective this year, but why are they striking out so much? Are they? Here's the thing. What is their strategy hitting-wise, like as a team? Do they want to be more aggressive, and is that why they strike out so much? Or are they trying to be more selective and patient? What kind of offensive team do they want
to
be?
They're trying to be selective and patient because the theory is they're going to wear out these pitchers by running up their pitch counts, by being patient and making them throw a lot
then
of pitches.
Then why do they lead the league in strikeouts?
The problem
they're not
is,
good, I guess.
Because the problem is it seems like every team in the league knows that's their strategy. So they throw strikes early in the count, and all these guys are down 1-2, 0-2.
Yeah, you're right.
Before they even, you know what I mean, want to take the bat off their
shoulder. There's got to be a stat on which team leads the league in 1-2 counts.
There
or
is,
or
sure
striking
there is.
Out on 3 straight pitches.
Here's something
horrible.
To support this. Henry Davis has 27 strikeouts. That's more than his hits and walks combined, which are 21. And O'Neal Cruz is worse. He has 42 strikeouts. Combined walks and hits, 34.
If neither one of those guys pans out to be, I'm talking like a high-impact hitter, which is what you everybody expected from Cruz and why you drafted Davis, then I feel a lot worse than I did before about the prospects of them being good in a couple years, you know?
Well, those are the, you know, when you look at him, when you look at Skeens has to be everything that we think he is. That better happen.
But their young hitters have to be.
Right. Their hitters have got to be better. And the guys
and Bob,
system,
at some point you're doing Davis a disservice by just burying him up here. He's lost.
Well, I know.
So the more you throw him out there while he's lost at the major league level, I think you're doing damage to his confidence.
I agree with that. But also I think, again, going back to my original point with that, I would have liked to have seen him trust him just to see what he would do and go from there. If you don't trust him in that situation, then – there's no reason for him to be up here still.
Where's the human rain delay? He was hurt, right? Knee injury?
Yeah, he's delay. Yeah, he's hurt. I don't know when he's coming back.
Yeah, he's only played one game, it looks like.
So Grandal will be back soon, and then I think it's a foregone conclusion that Henry Davis is
I think you also have to think about bringing up Nick Gonzalez.
Now.
Peguero, too. Yeah, but Nick Gonzalez,
for
Figueroa,
Triolo.
Triolo had two runs batted in. He's not. He
had a single and batted in two runs. Yeah, okay. He doesn't belong in a major
league
lineup.
He has 10 runs batted in. Look at their.
He does
look
not
at their,
belong as
maybe
an everyday
not,
player.
But he would if anyone else who's supposed to be a better
hitter
than him.
They drafted this kid seventh overall to be a bat, and he's crushing AAA. At least he was about a week
ago.
Which
he did last year too, and he came up here and things were not as good.
We'll give him another shot.
I agree, but that's my point about Davis. You got to give guys shots. If they're high end people, give them shots. And if you're not willing to give him a shot, then don't have him up here. Let him go work on his problems down there.
Yeah, take him, send him down. I would say send him down.
I mean, Triolo can be a utility guy for me, but what does he offer offensively?
What about Alika Williams?
He's another utility guy.
That's what I'm saying. Just send him down.
Everyone, there are a lot of utility guys on this team. And Andrew McCutchen, quite frankly, just not he's – to have him around right now – I get what he means to the locker room. I get what he means to the history of the franchise, but I don't get what he means to this team right now in terms of what he provides.
The Pirates, since they started 5-0, are on a 101 loss pace.
They're
that was against the Marlins and Nationals.
Right. They're 5-13 in their last 18. And the only win, those wins at the beginning, were two of the worst teams they're going to face. You're right. So that's a little bit alarming and disconcerting. When you build a 9-2 insulated start, you would expect them to make that last, the insulation, for at least 2 months, right? You're 7 over .500. Come on.
This is a disaster, Bob.
Anyway, that's the
showdown.
You got
the next question?
Oh, you want more?
Yeah.
You want more? You like it. You want more of it?
Hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go back to football.
Okay.
Of the six quarterbacks who were taken in the first 12 picks, who is the one who's going to be the complete bust, and who is the one who's going to be the, quote, franchise elite quarterback? Just one name each.
Hmm. Complete bust is going to be Bo Nix, franchise quarterback, Drake May.
Wow.
Well, they don't have a lot to work with in New England. Their run game and pass receiving guys are just average at best. So it's going to be a lot on him to start.
Paul?
I'm going to go complete bust. I'm going to go with Caleb Williams.
Mm.
I'm just not sold on him. I'm going to say franchise. I'm first of all, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not in love with any of these guys. But I feel like the guy who has a chance to be pretty good, at least good enough to be a quarterback for a lot of years for his team, believe it or not, J.J. McCarthy.
Hmm. How about you, Bob?
My bust is going to be, I'm going to agree, I don't know what level of bust, but Caleb Williams does nothing for me. I think the Bears are going to find out they made another bad choice at the top. So, but the complete bust for me, complete bust, is going to be J.J. McCarthy. As much as I like what he did at Michigan, I want to see more, and I don't know. Maybe he'll be, you know, he's got an offensive-minded head coach. That could help him out. But Michael Penix would be my complete bust, I guess, because and nothing against his ability. He's going to sit too long. He won't develop. And at some point, he's going to have to get in there, and they're not going to be a good team, and he's going to suffer because of it.
A wonderful showdown, Bob, and thank you.
It's always a pleasure.
I know you
right
put
here
days, perhaps weeks, into that showdown.
Or minutes.
In fact, I saw it last week on your Mackie planner. All your topics, all your topics were on your Mackie planner. Nelly, would you like a Mackie planner for Christmas this year?
I have no idea what that is.